Good afternoon. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Support for KUAF comes from the Rogers Little Theater, presenting the premiere of Checks and Balances this Friday. The drama by Oren Softy tells of a young music student and his relationship with an elderly woman and her finances. Twists and turns challenge his values and ethics. Rob Brothers with the Walton Family Foundation will serve as master of ceremonies for this event. Tickets available at rogerslittletheater.org.
And support also comes from the Botanical Garden, featuring healthy, fresh, and pasta, a cooking demonstration Sunday afternoon at 1. Chef Vince Pianalto and the SHS culinary team will prepare seasonal recipes using Rilla's pastas and fresh produce from the garden. More information at bgozarks.org or 750-2620.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, does the separation of boys from girls in elementary school classrooms make the learning atmosphere better? There are more single-gender classes in Northwest Arkansas than ever before.
And it is Halloween, so we have zombies, the Big Bad Wolf, and the Frankenstein Monster, and an original spooky song performed inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. It's not just Halloween.
It is not.
It is the final day.
The last day.
Of our on-air fundraiser at KUAF.
Yes, so if you've been waiting to make that pledge, this is probably your last chance. So give us a call now at 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. That's 575-KUAF. You can also pledge your support online at supportkuaf.com.
It is not only the last day, this is the last opportunity that you could pledge during Ozarks at Large.
Yep. Last opportunity.
There will be a 7 o'clock show tonight, but
right.
Fundraiser done by then.
It will be done by then. All of our lovely volunteers, phone volunteers, will have gone home. And while we're speaking of phone volunteers, we'd like to thank Ken and Donna Stout for answering the phones for us this morning.
The reason we have these fundraisers and the reason we have these final hours is there is still some work to be done. We have to hear from you if we haven't yet. The reason these on-air fundraisers happen is because the largest portion of the budget to pay for programs on KUAF like Talk of the Nation, Fresh Air, All Things Considered, and Ozarks at Large comes from you. By far the largest part of our budget. You can determine how much the value of KUAF and public radio is in your life and then make a contribution at 800-522-5823-575-5823. We've heard from Angela and David Carter.
Thank you.
They renewed by going online.
Mm-hmm.
And that address?
SupportKUAF.
Also like to thank Samuel Dudley from West Fork, who says, thanks for all your hard work and dedication to bringing great programming to Northwest Arkansas. I have and always will believe in the power of community entities such as KUAF. In today's world, it's comforting for me to know that I can turn on my radio and receive unbiased nonprofit news from a trusted source such as NPR.
Aw, yay.
And the reason we can bring you NPR, programs like Morning Edition and the hourly news that we just heard, is because of your financial contributions.
Yes, our listeners, I think, make up more than 70%
yep.
of our budget. Our annual budget is a little over $1 million.
Right.
And we have to raise a good chunk of that. And 70% of it comes from listeners like you.
And we appreciate everyone who has contributed thus far. But if you haven't, there are still a few hours left.
A couple.
And every successful fundraiser has a successful final push. And that's what we're looking for this afternoon. 800-522-5823.
Or 575-5823.
Or online.
At supportkuaf.com.
And from everyone at KUAF and Ozarks at Large.
Happy Halloween and thank you.
This is Ozarks at Large. Economist Michael Pacow of the Institute for Economic Advancement at the University of Arkansas in Little Rock says regardless of who wins next week's elections, there is slow but steady economic growth on the horizon for Arkansas. Speaking yesterday at UALR's Economic Forecast Luncheon, Pacow said data this year suggests falling unemployment.
We've been surprised, pleasantly so, with a decline in unemployment. Unfortunately, it looks like, as we saw in the national national economic outlook. We're expecting very little progress over the remainder of this year and into next year, and really not further progress toward declining unemployment rates until well into 2014 we start to see some more rapid growth.
PACO says that Northwest Arkansas is the strongest region in the state. New figures released by the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics back up that claim. New numbers show in the month of September, unemployment dropped to 4.9% of the labor force in the Fayetteville-Springdale-Rogers metro area, down from 5.3% in the month of August. The September figure amounts to about 11,700 people out of work and actively looking for work in the area. However, the total labor force in Northwest Arkansas shrank by only about 1,900 people from August to September. Unemployment rate in Fort Smith also declined in September, falling from 7.9% in August to 7.6% last month, meaning roughly 9,900 people in the area were out of work in September. But the labor force grew by about 700 people in the Fort Smith region from August to September.
The third annual Kicking the Competition kickball tournament will be held this weekend at Memorial Park in Bentonville. The tournament is open to everyone in Northwest Arkansas, but many teams come from the Walmart vendor community. Mary Case works within the vendor community and helps organize the event. She says the event was created not only as a friendly tournament between competing vendors, but also as a way to raise money for local charities.
Well, it started in 2010. It's just an idea to raise money. At that time, it was supporting the ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and our local PepsiCo office, the Walmart team office. You know, we rally around some charities in the community every year. We were brainstorming unique ways to raise money, and we came up with the idea of the kickball tournament.
Teams of 8 to 12 players pay a $150 entry fee, and field sponsorships are sold for $100. Case says before the teams even take the field Friday, the tournament has raised more than $5,000 for the Northwest Arkansas Children's Shelter. Case also says volunteers are still needed to be umpires and scorekeepers during the tournament.
Clear tonight for trick-or-treating. Lows will be in the lower to mid-40s throughout the KUAF listening area. Sunny tomorrow, high from 75 to 79. Tomorrow night, clear. Lows from 47 to 52.
This is Ozarks at Large. When you separate and teach little boys from little girls in a public classroom, do they act differently? And more important, do they learn differently? A growing number of Arkansas public school districts, including several in Northwest Arkansas, are teaching single-gender classes. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich attends one elementary school to learn more.
Cafeteria at Southside Elementary in Salem Springs is jammed with children enjoying cheese pizza for lunch. Here, boys and girls sit together, but when lunch is over, nearly half of them file into single-gender classes. Teacher Tammy Murray has instructed an all-boys class of fourth graders, one of 17 single-gender classrooms in the district, for the past 4 years, and she loves it.
You enjoy the stress. Thrill seekers enjoy the stress of things, and so I kind of think of ourselves as thrill seekers. We like the stress of the energy that the boys give us.
And results from the first year her all-boys class began to meet were really encouraging, she said.
100% growth. Every one of our students had made growth that year. And we have 4 points higher than the mixed classes for proficiency. So we have just a slight variation in our benchmark data.
Improving proficiency is what's leading more Arkansas school districts to adopt single-gender classrooms. Superintendents reported 72 such classes across 11 districts for this report, a preliminary tally. Tammy Murray and her colleagues teach self-contained classes, all the core subjects, to the same kids every day, same classroom. But she's taking things a step further and looping classes.
Okay, looping is the act of taking one class and staying with them through one, two, or more grades. Studies are showing what we learned, it's ideal if they'll loop three grades, but that's a lot of curriculum for a teacher to know.
By advancing to the next grade level with their students, teachers can pick up with them immediately every fall rather than having to assess a new flock of kids. Research on looping is scant, but evidence suggests that students score higher in reading, language arts, and math. So how does Tammy Murray keep pace with a pack of 28 little boys every single day for several years in a row?
It's exactly the same curriculum. It's just a matter of getting up and moving. For boys, Move, 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 move. They can stand if they want to. They stand at the counter if they need to. They'll stand with a clipboard if they need to. They'll lay on the floor if they need to. We go outside, do lots of running. If you get a correct answer, you can run to the tree and come back. Just lots of movement.
Now compare that kinetic classroom scene to Julie McCraddock's all-girl fourth grade class next door.
That armor on like a knight. That would be hard, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Javelin. What did you learn?
The girls take turns talking about a book they're reading on ancient Greek cultural practices. Evidence suggests that little girls tend to be more assertive when boys are not present. Tammy Murray's boys are taking a break from the books in gym class. The entire school is sexually segregated for PE, which is tradition. But do the students prefer being separated during core courses?
They wouldn't be in here if they weren't into it, because they have the option to leave at any point, really. Parents have the option to pull out any time they want. They seem to be into it.
And do you have a preponderance of students and parents who want to be in the single-sex classrooms?
Yeah. We're always full.
Southside Elementary in Siloam Springs is among a growing number of public schools nationwide experimenting with single-gender education. Outlawed in 1972 under Title IX of the Higher Education Act, single-gender classrooms were perceived as discriminatory. But 30 years later, gender-oriented classrooms were permitted under No Child Left Behind, which funded and encouraged innovation. According to the advocacy group, the National Association for Single-Sex Public Education, the number of public schools with single-gender classrooms has increased from 12 a decade ago to 508 nationwide. Even the U.S. Department of Education claims single-gender learning can boost achievement, reduce distractions, and improve behavioral interactions between both teachers and students, as well as among students. But empirical research is lacking, says Professor Sandra Stotsky.
There are teachers who have taught little boys and teachers who've taught little girls who claim that there are some differences in the way little boys learn and how they act in a classroom, and same with girls, so that there is some idea of gender-specific pedagogy.
Pedagogy meaning method or practice. A noted scholar in the Department of Education Reform at the University of Arkansas and an expert on standards for teacher education, licensure, and school curriculum, Professor Stotsky and her research team collected data from two elementary schools which had single-sex classrooms, in Springdale and in Fort Smith, the first study of its kind. She also observed same-sex classes in the co-ed school settings in other school districts.
No red flags, let me put it that way. We found very positive comments by the principal, the teachers, the few parents and students that we interviewed. No indication that there were any serious problems.
Stotsky's exploratory study, to be published in the Journal of School Choice this winter, searched for both positive and negative dynamics in non-co-ed classrooms.
We know girls do less well in math than boys, and we know that boys do less well in reading and writing than girls. So the question is, are there benefits for either sex or both sexes?
Educators also acknowledge long-held gender reading preferences, although those preferences are changing, Stotsky said.
Girls, as I say, like to read about fictional relationships, some fantasy stories. Boys do like nonfiction. This is a very clear preference. They like stories about sports. They like stories about exploits, adventures, wartime, battles.
Plus, girls act differently than boys.
Any mother who's had, or parent who's had children over the years will know that little girls can sit for long periods of time, read, or play school, play hospital, or play with dolls in carriages or little beds, you know, and little boys don't necessarily want to do this sort of thing. Sandbox play, there are some differences. Even when you try to put them all together in the same sandbox and insist that, you know, the girls play with trucks or whatever it is, these differences just occur.
Professor Sandra Stotsky says more exploration of single-sex education is needed in the face of rising demand.
The classes wouldn't be there unless the principal, the parents, and the teachers voluntarily wanted them.
An op-ed article published this month in the Wall Street Journal revealed an unusual bipartisan congressional alliance in support of single-gender education. But critics, like the American Council for Co-Educational Schooling, say single-sex classes are ineffective, claiming mixed-gender classrooms embrace diversity, promote cross-gender cooperation and friendships. And last May, the American Civil Liberties Union sent cease and desist letters to school districts in five states saying same-sex classrooms enforce stereotypes, limit opportunities, and violates children's civil rights. In response to a lawsuit brought by the ACLU, a federal court in West Virginia ordered a middle school to go back to co-education this school year. But Siloam Springs Southside Elementary principal Dan Siemens disagrees with critics.
Well, there are people in powerful places that, even politicians, that think that any kind of choice that a parent might have in public education is totally wrong. Now, if you talk to the parents of these boys, the parents of the girls in these classes that we have here, they would tell you the opposite. They love the choice. They appreciate the choice.
Plus, he said, in his school, an increasing number of students prefer single-gender classes.
The students just love it. They love the all-boys classes. They love the all-girls class. And we have done questionnaires, surveys, if you will, talking to the students about why do you like an all-boys class? Why do you like being in an all-girls class? And it's amazing how the answers are similar. The boys will say, there's no girls in here to mess up our class. But they just talk too much, and they just mess things up. Now, I'm generalizing here. But the girls say the same thing about the boys. Yes. Girls, why do you like an all-girls class? Well, the boys come in, they're just so sloppy. They just mess things up in this class. And so it's amazing how the comfort level in an all-boys or all-girls class is there.
So for now, this big experiment in public education will continue. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
And this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And ahead on Ozarks at Large, it's Halloween.
It is Halloween.
So we learn about zombies, Frankenstein and Harrison.
Yep.
And we'll hear an original spooky song from Brian and Terry Kinder that was recorded inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio.
Involves a skeleton.
800-522-5823, or you can pledge online to support KUAF.com. We are in the final edition of Ozarks at Large for this fall fundraiser. We are in the final hours of our on-air fundraiser for 2012.
We are. So if you have been waiting to contribute, now is the time.
It's simple to do. Donna and Ken Stout and some other folks are also by the phones right now, can take your phone call, takes a minute. Perhaps you're on lunch hour and you've got a moment to do that. 800-522-5823. Also online at supportkuaf.com.
We want to, because this is the end of the fundraiser, and I hope that we've been doing this enough over the past couple of days. We've had a lot of help from a lot of people, everybody on staff, of course, working hard, but also the volunteers, our phone volunteers, people who've come in from the community to donate their time to answer the phone and help us keep track of pledges. That's been fantastic. Thank you to them. Thank you to the restaurants that have helped keep them as well as the staff fed, Little Bread Company, Hugo's Greenhouse Grill, Spring Street Grill, U.S. Pizza Company, Ozark Natural Foods, Penguin Ed's, Aubon Pond on the U of A campus, Arcega's, BHK Cafe. I'm probably missing someone, and if I am, I apologize. But the food has been fantastic. Thanks to all of you. And especially thanks to all of our contributing listeners. We would like to thank a couple who've people who have called in and pledged online the last little bit. Like to thank Kara and Keith Couch of Fayetteville.
Hey, thank you very much.
Radie Nearing of Gravit.
Her latest book is Affair to Die For.
Yes. And let's see. We have a couple new members. Like to thank Chad and Bryn Sims of Fayetteville. Also, Aaron Johnson of Rogers, first-time donor.
Thank you very much. If you have not contributed yet and you've been thinking about it, maybe this would be your first time, let me remind you that you pay for probably your television, especially if you have cable or satellite. Then you choose which of those channels that you've paid for to watch. You pay for a newspaper or a magazine, then you choose which articles you'll read. So why not pay for something else you choose in your life? Listening to KUAF. You tune in, then you choose which programs to listen to. Just like you choose your cable stations or the articles in a periodical, you're willing to pay for those things because they matter to you. Now think what KUAF is worth to you, and you can make a call of financial support in the amount of your choice. Chances are you'll pay less than you would for your cable bill, your satellite bill, or a subscription every year. Because with KUAF, you choose how much to pledge. Takes maybe 2 minutes. You can call right now, 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. Make the choice to support something that is important to you, your listening habit. You can also do so online at supportkuaf.com.
Now, if you are a first-time contributor and you're not sure what to give, the average pledge is about $104, which is about $2 a week.
Yep.
Other suggestions we can offer you. I know some people like to do a buck a day, so $365, there's that. Or a buck a week, so there's $52. Also, we have an NPR Society for our larger donors who give $1,000 or more annually. We have a wide range of donations because we have a very varied
listenership.
Thank you.
And we're very proud of that, actually.
Absolutely. We like that we have a variety of people listening to us because we feel like we provide them with a variety of stories and hope we keep everybody entertained. And we're glad to have support at any level. So if you would like to offer your support now, you can make a financial contribution at 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. That's 575-KUAF. You can also pledge online at supportkuaf.com. And thank you.
Jim Goza, zombie survivalist. Now, odds are you're going to be at the movies, at the grocery store, at the office, or out in adverse conditions when the apocalypse strikes. So the question is, could you kill a zombie with a $10 soda, a package of lunch meat, a ballpoint pen, or an umbrella?
Jim Goza has been performing on stages throughout Northwest Arkansas for years, and now you can watch him on the internet as well. For less than 2 years, Jim has been hosting a web series called Zombie Go Boom, a show that tests weapons that could hypothetically be used to attack zombies. Last Saturday, before Jim said goodbye to Arkansas and headed for California, I paid a visit to his mostly empty Fayetteville apartment. With a rather large black and yellow riding spider hanging overhead, Jim and I sat on 2 chairs on his balcony overlooking his apartment complex's pond and discussed how Zombie Go Boom got started, as well as his plans for the future.
Chuck Murray is a very, very talented filmmaker, actually has an Emmy based on some work that he did for the Sundown Town commercial. And he was one day sitting in his office at the news station And he had been mulling around this idea for a zombie movie for a long time. I actually have the script on my computer, and it's really great. But his boss, James Sweet, came up to him and kind of said, "Hey, you have this idea for zombies. You love zombies. Why don't we make it a running series?" And Chuck thought that was a great idea, and they talked it over, and they tried to come up with the logistics of the thing and came up with a premise, and that premise is Deadliest Warrior meets Mythbusters, all with a zombie twist. And I was originally, I'm also a musician, and Chuck Murray had contacted me to do the music because he was going to host it, and I jumped at the chance. Of course, Chuck, I will absolutely do the music for you. And then he called me back about 30 minutes later, and he was just like, "Do you just want to host the thing?" And I was like, "Yes, of course I do. You mean I get to hit zombie heads with home-found weaponry? Of course I want to do that. Why would I not want to do that?" And since then, just based on the talents that both Chuck and James have in the advertising and entertainment industry, because between the two of them, they have 4 Emmys, which is unbelievable. So that just proves their talent and capacity for that sort of thing. And from there, From all of their incredibly hard and persistent work, Zombie Go Boom has grown into a global phenomenon.
How long have you guys been working on it? And I've watched a couple of episodes. Where do you get the weaponry and the dummies, for lack of a better word?
Oh, yeah, the skull analogs, we call them, the ballistics gel molds. Well, Zombie Go Boom is less than 2 years old, but we have almost 10 million views on the internet. I'm not sure exactly what the figure is right now, but I know we have over 65,000 subscribers on our YouTube, on our YouTube alone. We also post the same videos to Machinima's website, to their YouTube channel. And so we double our views that way because they have a massive audience. And where do we get these skull analogs? Well, so Deadliest Warrior was an incredibly popular show. I guess for those of you who don't know, Deadliest Warrior is it's a hypothetical show based in quote-unquote reality. And that reality is, what if a pirate and a ninja, per se, were to go at it? Who would win based on the technology that they have? So Chris Mills of Silver Shamrock Lab, a company out in California, he makes the ballistics gel heads for that show, and we desperately wanted to use the same analogs because they're actually so quality, and the results are so precise that they're actually used in military applications to test the efficacy of new weaponry. So we knew that it was quality stuff, and we had to get our hands on it, and through some incredible schmoozing and Chuck and James's tenacity and suaveness, they were actually able to partner with Chris Mills. So he is our partner. So the ballistics gel heads that you see, which is actually shoulder up with a full spinal column from the shoulder up and a skull filled with blood inside the ballistics gel, those are the same ones used on Deadliest Warrior, and now we have them on our show.
What is happening? Why the move to? Is it L.A. that you're moving to?
Mm-hmm. It is the greater Los Angeles area, a place called Chatsworth, which is North L.A. And I'm moving there because an opportunity arose while we were out there last shooting a short film called Love Struck Dead, which is actually online now and part of Zombie Go Boom's, and in fact, the internet's first online horror film festival. What we are going to do is Chris Mills and I will be heading the Los Angeles quote-unquote chapter of Zombie Go Boom, and Charles Fultz, Chuck Murray, Mandy Gann, Nate O'Gwynn, and James Sweet will be running the Arkansas Zombie Go Boom chapter. So we're going to kind of hit this thing from both sides. The benefit of that is I will be close to Chris Mills' workshop. I'll be close to Chris. I'll be close to the Machinima offices, so we have a physical presence of Zombie Go Boom in there, because that's so much nicer than Skyping or just a phone conference, just to have a physical being there, just to kind of soak up the energy of the room.
And can you explain what Machinima is for those that don't know?
Absolutely. Machinima is an internet production company. They do videos for... They started out initially as a gaming channel, so they would do coverage of all the new games coming out for the consoles. They do reviews of games. They feature gaming segments. And they've since grown into this beast of a company that's incredible, that is, I believe, a part of Google. Gets a lot of financing from Google and YouTube to produce these shows, and the shows that they have are really just quality.
So what is the goal for you for moving out there?
The goal at present is to, first and foremost, is to continue with Zombie Go Boom and to just make it the absolute best product that we can. The secondary goal, of course, is to make enough money on my own so that I'm able to eat and sleep in a warm environment. And so I have, let's see, for the past 6 months, I've actually made my living here by doing a one-man music show featuring a loop station that I'll beatbox into and then record loops over that and sing over that and solo over that. And that's just so much fun. And I never really realized that people like watching me play with my toys as much as I like playing with my toys. So it's kind of a win-win situation there. And I would love to do, you know, I'm going to do my very best to get some commercial work. I've always had a dream of doing voiceover for cartoons and video games. Oh, I would love to do that, and I'm actually working on a voice reel right now.
So are you born and raised here?
not born, but definitely raised, and I consider myself a Fayette villain through and through. I was born in Charlottesville, Virginia, but I moved here when I was not even 3 years of age. So Fayetteville is the place that I know and have always known.
And like I said, people are familiar with you from your one-man band and from being in theater. I think one of my earliest memories of you was actually at Rogers High School, where you did drama.
Yeah.
You, I think it was The Hobbit. You were Gandalf.
Yes.
And they let you walk through the cafeteria on those stilt things.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So you've been very much a part of the area here, Theater Square. You've been a big part of that, University Theater. I mean, is it going to be strange for you to be in such a bigger area with people that you don't know?
It's going to be very weird. It's going to be very strange because I'm established in Fayetteville. You know, people know of the one-man show. They've seen the Theater Squared shows. They've seen the University of Arkansas productions. They've seen me play with the incredibly fast-growing and popular band, the Pogs, which I was lead guitar for. So I was established here, which felt great, but... It's that's going to be very strange going into this big open new world where nobody has any idea who I am. Nobody even really cares. I have to make people care, but at the same time, I am hungry for it. And this is the moment that I have been preparing for what feels like the majority of my life. So I'm ready to take the plunge. I'm ready to be denied. I know it happens, and it will happen to me, absolutely. But I'm ready for it because everything is a growing and learning experience.
Do you think you'll ever come back? I mean, I know Theater Squared will hire actors from Chicago or New York.
You know, I certainly hope so. In fact, I will be looking for reasons to come back and visit Fayetteville because I absolutely love this place. And it really is, quite literally, a breath of fresh air compared to the hustle and bustle and the smog of Los Angeles. But yes, I do very badly want to come back to Fayetteville as much as possible.
Any parting words for us? Any last thoughts?
Yeah. Fayetteville, I love you. California is where my house is, but Fayetteville will forever be my home.
More information is available at zombiegoboom.com.
Happy Halloween. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And with us on the phone from her office at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers is Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
And apparently the ghost of the day.
That's right. Right.
So I'm haunting you via technology.
That works.
To remind you of what's going on today for Halloween.
All right. It's a big list.
Trick or treat on the square in Fayetteville, mm-hmm. 3 to 5. Including a troll photo booth.
Whoa, what is this?
A photo booth where you can get your picture taken with a troll?
I'm
guessing. Me too. I'll be down.
Oh, excellent.
Okay, the Goblin Parade is at 3:30, starting at Frisco Park in downtown Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
Will there be some trick-or-treating there as well?
Yes.
Oh, yes. That's the whole point of the Goblin Parade.
Okay. The little goblins show up and they parade around and they go business to business for the candy.
Oh, mm-hmm. Fantastic.
From 3:30 to 5:30, there'll be trick or treating, say that 30 times fast, in downtown Siloam Springs.
Okay.
If you haven't heard about the Banshee Manor Yard Haunt, you really need to go check this out from 5 to 10. It's at 2893 North Sunny Lane in Fayetteville. It's a family that just does this because they want to.
Really?
Way fun. Free, but donations are being accepted for Teamworks, which is an organization of physical therapists helping kids.
Very cool.
Pinnacle Hills Promenade is having its Halloween festival from 6 to 8 tonight, featuring trick-or-treating and a costume contest.
Mm-hmm.
It's Malloween for ages 12 and younger from 6 to 8 at the Northwest Arkansas Mall in Fayetteville. I still remember taking Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
And her looking quizzically at all these people and saying to herself, if you just gave me the candy, it'd be so much easier.
Don't have to do the trick or the asking for it.
Exactly. There's something called the Dance of the Dead tonight in Eureka Springs. It is described as a high-energy, dark electronic mixdown of Halloween classics, evil electro, and 80s music. That is part of their zombie crawl.
Okay.
8 to 11 o'clock, check out EurekaSpringsZombieCrawl.com. And while you're in Eureka, illusionist Sean Paul is going to do his regular performance and then a seance to try to make contact with Harry Houdini.
Okay.
You can find out more about that at IntrigueTheater.com. And back in the normal world, Shrek is on at the Walton Arts Center.
But there will be trick-or-treating in the lobby before Shrek tonight there, too.
Oh, fun.
How fun is that?
Yeah, and I think if you show up in costume, you get a special treat, maybe some candy. I'm not sure.
Ooh, fun.
There you go.
So if you have 9 hours and a tank of gas, you could get a year's, if not a lifetime, supply of candy between now and midnight, right?
Or you could just mug a... No, don't do that.
Okay.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
And this is Halloween on Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
It's not just Halloween. It is also the final day of our on-air fundraiser at KUAF. Final hours.
If you have yet to give in, now's the time. You can please give us a call at 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. That's 575-KUAF. You can also pledge online at supportkuaf.com. Had a couple of donors last little bit, so we would like to thank Kirk Lyman of Bentonville, a new contributing member. Thank you so much, Kirk.
Thank you very much. These are the final hours, so if you have been meaning to contribute to KUAF because you have a listening habit that is KUAF. Perhaps you hear a bit of Ozarks at Large during your lunch hour, and then you stay with us for Talk of the Nation, and you get caught up on all of the day's news on All Things Considered, and maybe move into the evening with fresh air. Each of those programs costs money, and each of these programs that we have on KUAF remains on the air because of your financial support, from Morning Edition to Prairie Home Companion, from Pick and Post to Weekend Edition.
All of them, all supported by local listeners.
Just like you. 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can also support us online. It's an easy web address to remember, supportkuaf.com. In just about a minute, a couple of the cast members from Shrek the Musical.
Mm-hmm.
It's on stage through Sunday night at Walton Arts Center. They popped in to the station earlier this morning. And then tonight is the last night for Frankenstein on stage in Harrison.
Lots of theater happening.
Yes. 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. Perhaps I think the best thing about your contribution, obviously, is that you're supporting the radio that you listen to and making sure that you hear the programs you want to. But the second best part about contributing is that we leave almost every decision up to you.
Yes. You can decide how much you would like to pay, how much you can afford to pay. You can decide how you would like to pay, cash, check, debit, credit card. We do draft payroll deduct for University of Arkansas employees. You can have regular installments taken out of your checking account each month. Just we will work with you to make sure that you can make the contribution that you would like to do. But in order for that to happen, we have to hear from you. So you can give us a call now at 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can also pledge online at supportkuaf.com. And thank you.
This is Ozarks at Large. Tonight, thousands of people across the region will dress up for Halloween, some of them young, some of them not as young. We know Jennifer Margulis and Robert Teasdale will be in costume, several costumes, actually. They're two members of the cast of Shrek the Musical at Walton Arts Center this week. Jennifer is the shoemaker's elf, and Robert is the big bad wolf. But each have more than just one role.
We both kind of play a myriad of, we run the gamut with the characters. I mean, I go from big bad wolf to a guard, and then a bishop, and then a knight in a stock, and a villager. And we cover all the bases when it comes to characters in this show.
You're the shoemaker's elf. Do you play other roles as well?
Yes, I'm also a villager, and I'm a Duloc doll and a tap dancing rat, which so much fun.
About that.
So there's no time for either of you to breathe, really, or to do much more than breathe.
I think I have one moment to sit in the show, and it's for just a couple minutes.
It's pretty fast and furious. I also have a couple of tracks that I understudy, so I do have moments where I'm able to watch those tracks. But otherwise, it's a busy show for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that enjoyable, being rapid fire? And
I love it. It never gets boring because we're always being stimulated. It
makes
fun.
The show just fly by. I mean, there's never a moment, aside from intermission, which is like 20 minutes. But, I mean, during the show,
we're usually putting on our rat noses during intermission.
Right. During the show, we're just, I mean, it's constant, quick change. And even if we're not quick changing, we're changing somewhat quickly.
So you're a guard. Do you go from being a guard to in the stocks?
I go from the guard to... Yes, I do. I go from the guard to... I'm trying to remember now, because now I do the big head, too, which is Walt, I don't know if you remember from the movie, the big head that runs out and then smacks into the wall. So I go from the guard to that, and then I go into the stocks, and then the rat tap, and then...
Well, take me through just a few minutes of how that happens. Okay, you're coming off stage as guard. What happens next?
Okay, actually, it starts the madness starts in the beginning for both of us, actually, where... The villagers is like this. The villager scene is like this little scene in the beginning, and we have to change full costume and full makeup in a matter of 30 to 40 seconds, 35 seconds. I'm not sure the exact time, but it's full. We're running off stage, and we're taking off costume pieces, putting on makeup, putting on a different outfit and wig and beard. And I have, you know, the wolf wig, the wolf beard, and the glasses, and, you know, the house coat, and the shoes, and the gloves, and the makeup. All within a matter of 30 seconds.
Going from a Shakespearean villager into a fairy tale creature in about 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. That's what all of us do.
So you must be doing your own makeup then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Doing the own makeup, and then we have dressers that help us get in and out of the costume.
Robert, this is your first touring production.
Yes,
so
first tour.
Is there a boot camp? How do you get ready for that when it has so many intricate changes?
I've performed in other shows before with quick changes, nothing to this extent. I mean, maybe one or two throughout the course of a show, but I mean, you just kind of have to do it. You know, they just said, you have to do this and this, and you just say, okay. And then, you know, you get it. I mean, it came pretty quickly, you know, in dress rehearsals. But, I mean, it took a few times having to just run it over and over. But once you get in a pattern, it's really just like you said, muscle memory. And you just kind of go, and it just works. Somehow it works.
We also learned the show from people who were involved with the Broadway production.
Right.
So we kind of got the tested and approved way of doing things that makes it the easiest and most efficient.
Tonight's Halloween, so it's going to be kind of a special atmosphere at Walton Arts Center, right?
Yeah, I think kids are able to come by in costumes, and there will be trick-or-treating. I know some of the cast is probably going to get dressed up, and I'm looking forward to going to a haunted house tonight.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That should be fun, yeah. But, the Halloween, the trick-or-treating for the kids, that should be... The costume parade, too, yes. So
costume parade. When you go to a town and you have, what, 7 or 8 performances, do you get any chance to see where you are, or is it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I usually try and go for a run as soon as we get into each town, so I kind of get my bearings and see what's around. And most of us have smartphones, so we're able to find whatever it is we're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we will have some time to just kind of mosey around and explore the town, which is really nice to go when you go to each city.
Robert Teasdale is the Big Bad Wolf, among other roles, in Shrek the Musical, a Walton Arts Center that runs through the weekend. Jennifer Margulis is the Shoemaker's Elf, as well as other roles in the production. Tonight's Halloween performance includes trick-or-treating and a costume parade. Shrek remains at Walton Arts Center through Sunday night. Tonight's curtain goes up at 7. For more information, waltonartscenter.org. And from Shrek in Fayetteville to Frankenstein in Harrison. Tonight, the theater company closes its run of an adaptation of Mary Shelley's classic story about man creating man. The final performance is inside the Lyric Theater downtown in Harrison, a structure built in 1929. Jewel Stefanski is the public relations director for the theater company. I asked her about the decision to stage the classic science fiction work.
It was was really kind of a long process just to decide that we really wanted to do that, because it is such a well-known play, book, of course, and, you know, even a movie. And we got Brian Miller in to direct it. He's done stuff with us before. He was Jekyll and Jekyll and Hyde. Michael Mahoney from the college directed that one. And the board just decided that he would really be able to bring it to life. We, you know, were trusting him to get the right actors to portray Dr. Frankenstein and the creature and everything. You know, all the different morals and lessons and everything that's in that, you know, about Prometheus and revenge and love. And I saw it on Saturday. I think he did a fantastic job. I think the actors and Brian Miller really brought it to life. I mean, I think they chose the right one.
So many of us are familiar, of course, with that image of Boris Karloff from the 1931 horror classic. What was the attitude taken, because you're going to have the creature on stage? What was the idea about makeup and presenting this iconic character live on stage?
Well, you know, Brian actually didn't want to do the bolts, you know, mm-hmm. and wear head and everything. He wanted to more do a character that actually looked like it was put together from different parts of people. And it was really kept under wraps. Nobody saw the makeup or anything until, of course, except for the actors, until Friday night when it opened. And I really think he just wanted it to be, close to, I believe he said he actually wanted it to be closer to the Robert De Niro version, you know, that where it was more just that outward ugliness, and so that it could show how good he could have been on the inside.
Do you find the story still relevant for audiences in 2012?
Oh, I absolutely do. Yes. I read the script at the very beginning, and I found it to be pretty close to the book. Of course, the script is by Victor Giulianella, a playwright, and I thought it was very close to it. And even just the words they say and the actions that he puts in, everything is in there. I mean, from the very beginning when Dr. Frankenstein is talking about creating a man and is saying that he's, you know, he's not a god. He's not trying to be a god. He's just a scientist. And I think it speaks to everybody who wants to take control, but they just can't. And as he goes along and he actually creates the creature, he actually does sort of become a god, and realizes what a terrible mistake he's made, you know, when the creature starts to murder people. I think that it's very, very relevant to people who they want to take control and they can't, and they make the wrong decision, and everything kind of blows up in their face.
It's inside the Lyric Theater, which was created in 1929. Movies were shown there. Any chance of knowing whether the Karloff version that was made in 1931 ever showed at the Lyric? Wouldn't that be fun to know that you're on stage?
I didn't even think about that. I'm sure it was, because up until about the 70s, it was the place to go in town. I mean, we have old pictures of people lined up around the block to get into the theater, you know, to see the talkies and everything. So I can't guarantee that it was, but it's very likely that it was.
And it's a perfect setting. I love the Lyric Theater, of course, since it has that age on it and inside, it seems like it's the perfect setting for staging of Frankenstein, which, of course, takes place in a castle.
Yes, it very much was. I mean, the ambiance with the lights, you know, there's sconces along the walls, and the high ceilings really, really make you think that you're just in a different place.
Jules Stefanski is Public Relations Director for the theater company based in Harrison. Their final production of Frankenstein is tonight inside the Lyric Theater in Harrison. Upcoming productions include a Veterans Day performance titled Khaki Spectacular, November 11th. For more information, lyricharrison.org. And this is the on-air fundraiser for KUAF on Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Just a couple of, maybe about a minute here to thank some folks.
Yes, we'd like to thank Caroline Eastman of Bentonville, becoming a new member.
Hey, thank you very much. We've heard from many people today, many people in the last hour. If we haven't heard from you yet and you've been meaning to, let me remind you, this is the final chance you'll have to make your contribution during Ozarks at Large, and we're really into the final few hours of our so far pretty successful on-air fundraiser.
Yes, quite pleased. And if you would like to help us end this on a positive note, keep that momentum going, you can call now with your contribution at 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. That's 575-KUAF. Or you can pledge online at supportkuaf.com.
The amount that you contribute is left completely up to you. The method you use is left completely up to you as well. 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can also support us online at supportkuaf.com. And from everyone at Ozarks at Large,
thank you. This is a Halloween edition of Ozarks at Large. Earlier this month, songwriters Brian and Terry Kinder took time out of a week-long songwriting session at King Elementary School in Van Buren to come to the Furman Garner Performance Studio to talk to us about their latest CD, Spooky. While here, they played a song from the CD that explains why dogs and skeletons are not necessarily the best of friends.
Okay, this is a song called I Want My Bone Back. It on home, and that night I heard the telephone ring. Hello, and the voice on the other side said the strangest thing. He said, I want my bubba bubba bone back. I want my bubba bubba bone back. Your doggy da da dug it up for a snack. I want my bubba bubba bone back. Oh, no. I think you must have the wrong number. Bye now. So I hung up the phone and went on back to bed. There came a knock on the door that would raise the dead. I thought this can't be good. Is somebody there? I opened the door and there a skeleton stood. And he said, I want my bubba. Doggy dug it up for a snack. I want my bubba bubba bone back. Ow! And then that skeleton started dancing. He was pretty good too. So I went to my dog and got that skeleton's bone. I gave it back to him, said, now leave us alone. You got your bubba. Cemetery. That's like the third time this week a skeleton has knocked on her door. Okay?
The song is titled I Want My Bone Back, and the recorded version can be found on Brian and Terry Kinder's brand new CD, Spooky. That version recorded inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio earlier this month. You can learn more at kindersongs.com. KUAF is supported by contributing listeners like you and by Fayetteville Animal Shelter and Services, supported by the City of Fayetteville and dedicated to the welfare of animals and the people who associate with them. 444-3456 for photos and information.
A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville Rogers Fort Smith Treat.
Where is Treat, Arkansas?
It's in Pope County. It's along the Pope County, Johnson County line.
Very good. I did a little research on your town from yesterday, by the way. Paw Paw, Oklahoma?
Yes.
It's on the official list of Oklahoma ghost towns.
Is it really?
It is.
I didn't know that.
So we'll have to go check out Paw Paw, Oklahoma.
Yeah, we do.
A belated thank you to Fayetteville Public Library and the gathering group of the groups last Friday.
Oh, right.
I was asked to moderate a conversation with Pulitzer Prize winner David Shipler, author of Working Poor. He was in town for the One Book, One Community. It was standing room only. It was,
oh, wow,
in fact, beyond standing room. They put it on the video boards out in the lobby.
Oh,
I was very honored to be part of that. So
very
thank you.
Cool. Very cool. Glad that went well.
Yes, it did. It did. Let's see. We should remind you that you can still pledge. Even though Ozarks at Large is about to end, we still have a few hours left. Four or five.
Sure. In the on-air fall fundraiser, if we've yet to hear from you, or if you'd like to contribute again, you can give us a call.
Sure. Sure.
At 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. That's 575-KUAF. You can also pledge online at supportkuaf.com.
If you listen to KUAF for programs such as Talk of the Nation and All Things Considered, please remember those programs, like Ozarks at Large, cost money to produce. It's not inexpensive radio. It's different kind of radio. We realize that. It's unique, but it's not inexpensive. And the reason we're able to do these shows, whether local or national, is because of your financial support and listeners just like you. The biggest part of our budget comes from you.
Absolutely. And so a big thank you to everyone who has contributed so far. And we hope to hear from some more people before the day is through. Again, the numbers are 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. Also online at supportkuaf.com.
The amount is completely left up to you and the method. You can use, you can write a check. You can use debit or credit card. You can do a bank draft or a payroll deduction. That's another one of the decisions that we leave completely up to you, as well as the amount. And it takes no more than 2 minutes. You can call right now, 800-522-5823. Now, though we are in the final couple of hours, or few hours, I should say, of this fundraiser, the on-air fundraiser, doesn't mean we're ready to stop. In fact, this is when we really need to keep the momentum going, like you said, and get that final push, because every pledge does matter.
Every pledge does matter. It doesn't matter the amount. If it's $10, $100, $1,000, it's whatever you can afford to give. We appreciate each and every donation from every one of our contributing listeners.
I should tell you, Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellens.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Christina Thomas will be with me on the program tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You and I back together on Friday.
We will be back on Friday.
Except we'll be back together in a couple of hours.
We will.
During
we will
All
be
Things
back
Considered.
For All Things Considered to continue reminding you about our honor fundraiser.
Right. And I know that there are a lot of people who have, I know a couple of people who in the last couple of days have said, I mean to get there.
Today's your last day.
Right.
It's your last chance.
So if you haven't yet contributed and you have been meaning to, or maybe it's a completely new thought to you right now, very simple to do so. 800-522-5823, 575-5823, or online at supportkuaf. And
thank you.